On board the telephone line, the multi-talented sportscaster, actor, author. His most recent book, okay, it's his first, The Arm in the Fall, is available, and the audiobook is available now as well. Gary Tanguay joins us. Hello there, Gary.
Hey, Rich. How's it going, buddy?
Fabulous. How are you today?
Good. Doing well.
So the audiobook is out. Now, one of the recent times you were on, you told us you were working on a second book. How's progress coming?
Well, you know, Rich, it's one of those things like a fine wine. No, it's come along well. It's pretty interesting, though. It's different. It's amazing. When you just, this is going to sound so gross when I say it, but like, people are going to go, oh, Tango, you just sound like such a jerk right now, but it's the only thing I can think of. When you like just use yourself as a vessel and just let whatever comes out, like you don't filter it, right?
Right.
The first one was much more violent, a lot of sex. This one's not as, I don't think there's going to be as much sex, which may be a bad thing. I don't know. but the relationships are more platonic. It's kind of weird. You know how I have two new characters, it's a new situation, and they're just taking me in different directions. Again, people listening may sound like, oh boy, Tanguay sounds like he thinks a lot of himself, but that's kind of like what I'm going through right now, where it's the great thing about writing is you sit down with a blank page, you can go wherever you want. There's no guarantee it's going to be any good or anybody's going to want to go with you, but I'm having a good time.
Do you write every day?
I try to. The rule of thumb is that, like, get a sentence in, and some days you write, and it's god-awful. You know, it's terrible. And then there are other days where you sit down, and you type one word, and next thing you know, 3 hours later, you get 10 pages. So, yes, I do.
Let's talk about another artistic pursuit that's out there, because it's one that seemingly has polarized some people. I know you love it, based on the Jeff Perlman book, HBO's Winning Time. I think it's a hoot. Yes, they stretched the truth on some things. It's entertainment.
Did you read Bob Ryan's article in The Globe?
Yes, I did.
Oh, he pissed. I mean, I do a podcast with him for CLNS, and, you know, Goodman, with Jeff Goodman and Bob. And Goodman goes, please, no Winning Time talk. No Winning Time talk, because Bob just goes off. Just goes off. You know, and just, you know, the way that Jerry West is portrayed and so forth, it's very entertaining. But to me, where I disagree with Bob, and we've had this discussion on our podcast, if you really pay attention to the arc of Jerry West, played by Jason Clarke, who you've interviewed, has been in Stephen King's Pet Cemetery, and who I, you know, had a chance to do a scene with at Chappaquiddick, I think Jason does a great job. Jerry West is vital to the success of the 80s Lakers. He is the reason. He's the pin. He stepped away from coaching. He hired McKinney. McKinney put in Showtime. And they were off and running. So Jerry West deserves as much credit for the success of the Lakers as anybody. And that is plain as day in this. That is right. That is in Winning Time. Now, everybody's a cartoon in that. Everybody. It's Adam McKay. Look, he did Don't Look Up. We understand. You know, Adam McKay did, you know, with Will Ferrell, did all those fun, you know, Anchorman and Talladega Nights and, you know, with George Bush and Dick Cheney, you know. I mean, he's Vice. That's his thing. So I understand the frustration. Like, I never knew Larry Bird yet. And, you know, Larry Bird is kind of portrayed as a jackass. The Celtics have to be the villain. In every story, you have to have the antagonist, the protagonist. The Celtics are the bad guys, right? So people in New England are having a hard time with that. You know, I don't think Larry ever dipped. I don't remember it. You know, Red Auerbach's hair is too long. You know, and Larry and if you ask Jackie McMullen and read her book, I mean, Larry and Magic, they hardly spoke to each other. I don't know if they ever had dipped. Whatever. I mean, it's a great show. I can't stop watching it. And he goes after everybody. I mean, Magic Johnson, it does not paint Magic well. It does not paint West. It paints West as a flawed man. It paints, certainly, Jerry Buss as a very flawed man. So, you know, it's not like he's picking sides. I mean, he makes fun of everybody. Everybody. You know, Westhead is the one, I've heard the Westhead, you know, it's, I mean, they really make him look like a wuss. That's pretty, but, you know, it's head writer for Saturday Night Live. Think about it, folks.
Yeah.
It's not a documentary.
People have a people just have a hard time separating them.
You know, listen, I'm on Twitter in Boston Sports. I take so much crap on Twitter. It doesn't matter. It's stupid. It doesn't matter. If you're in a position that Jerry West is or that Magic Johnson is or Larry Bird, that stuff happens. It's the price of celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. It's just the price of celebrity. You know? I mean, the Kardashians, how many times have they been made fun of? Oh, my God. They're worth billions. They're laughing all the way to the bank. I mean, I love it. I understand the frustration of it. But again, if you watch it carefully, you know, Jerry West is the reason the Lakers won all those titles in the 80s. It all started with him when he stepped down. And to me, that is plain as day. And people just aren't paying attention.
We're talking with Gary Tanguay here on Downtown. What's up with...
Boy, is Ryan pissed.
Absolutely.
I mean, even when you talk to him on the phone, I mean, he's just... I mean, you think the article goes on for 24 hours if you're... You know, I mean, Mrs. Ryan is like, holy cow. You
know? Hey, what's
going
on?
Ron Borges said rooming with Ryan at the Olympics was exhausting. I love him. He's the best. But, I mean, there's nobody more passionate about what he does than Bob Ryan. He is just unbelievable.
Hey, what's going on with the Whitney Houston movie? When will we get to see that?
You know, that's a good question. I thought it was in the fall. I don't know where that is now. I mean, they haven't been keeping me posted, but I can't wait to see it. Cannot wait to see that. Because it's really supposed to be something else. I mean, what a story, what a life, what a talent. And, yeah, I can't wait to see it. I would say the fall. You know, a lot of it is going to depend on scheduling and do they want to do the theater. And, you know, because they're holding a lot of films now because they're waiting to see what's going on in the theaters.
Right.
My God, the Rock, the Jungle Book movie. I mean, hell, that was made, what, 5 years ago before they released it? I mean, you know. It's a great family movie. I mean, it's not going to win any awards, but you want to watch a movie with your kids, you know, The Rock and Emily Blunt. It's a fun movie for the family. But so I don't know. You know, I would say it's ready to go in fall, but who knows when they release it.
Right. Let's talk a little sports here. I'm always amused at coverage of the NFL draft because nobody knows. Mel Kiper Jr. doesn't know. Nobody knows, and this year, more than ever, oh, my God, it's a crisis that Bill Belichick drafted some guys that people didn't know about or at a spot where they didn't have them in their mock drafts. It's the end of the world as we know it.
It is amazing to me, Rich, that adults, mature adults that are generally very smart individuals, men and women, all backgrounds, all denominations, all ethnicities, that they can be doctors or lawyers or whatever and be very smart people, and then when it comes to the draft, they totally lose their crap. It should be a study in human behavior because it's almost like wrestling, where it is like wrestling, where everybody knows it's fake and everybody knows that you don't know, but they still go bananas. It's mental masturbation. I mean, it really is. I mean, I get friends of mine that just, they love it. And they know it does. They know there's no answer. You know, I can't understand it, Richie. I really don't. I've never been able to get into it because of just that. Because I think like you, like I watch a game, I want to know who wins. It's like, okay, I'm watching the draft. I want to know who won. Well, you're not going to know for 3 years. And by then, I'm really not going to care. So I don't know. It's just, it gives sports fans something to bitch about, I guess.
You know? Yeah, I guess. And of course the mock drafts have become, that's gold. That's gold for ESPN and everybody else,
big.
Because now everybody can be an expert and weigh in. And it's, you know, it's getting to be as big as March Madness.
Well, you know, Mel Kiper is creative. I mean, what? And I say this with the utmost respect. What would he be doing if he wasn't doing this? Does anybody know? I mean, would he be selling? And would he be selling cars? I mean, he's not a football coach, you know. I'm not knocking him because he's created an industry, you know. He really has. But the way in the authority he says things, and you know, it's just it's amazing. It really is amazing. I enjoy. You know what I enjoy? I enjoy people enjoying it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like I enjoy like when you know somebody gets dragged. You know, somebody gets you know called to the podium, and all the fans go bananas and. I do like the pomp and circumstance of it. I do like the show. I do like how fans get so excited. I do love how they have 18 analysts. I mean, they break the draft down the way they break down the presidential election. I'm surprised they didn't bring in Chris Christie. You know, I mean, all you have to say is Tom Brady and Troy Brown, right?
Right.
Picks 198 and 199. That's all you have to.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all you got to say. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like, and now everybody's all pissed off down here because, you know, he got this guy, Cole, somebody at guard from Chattanooga or whatever. I don't know. You know, I don't. All I can say this is that through the history of Bill Belichick, and you can go back to Parcells, offensive linemen are important. They're important. And if you go through over the 20 years of their success that they've had, they've always had outstanding offensive linemen. Now, is this guy going to be getting good? I don't know. Hell, I'll never forget. Logan Mankin. They drafted Logan Mankin out of Fresno State, okay? And he was a tackle. And we did a promotion at the greatest bar in Boston. And I was with Vince Wilfork and Ty Warren. And they both looked at me and they said, who the hell's that? And, I mean, Logan Mankin is probably going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame lineman.
Yeah.
What a great guy. That guy's probably going to the Hall of Fame. And I remember everybody, when they drafted him, everybody went, ooh. So, there you go. People get all, people love it. They get all fired up. So, hey, there you go.
Hey, beats watching the Red Sox. What's the story on the Sox? Is it,
You're asking me? You know more about
baseball.
Why do you ask me about baseball? Rich, why do you ask me about baseball? You know more about me. You know more than baseball than I do. Well, I mean, you know, here's the one thing I will say is that statistically, and Maserati's big on this, and Tony is, God love him, he loves baseball and follows it religiously. And he does say slow starts matter. You know, if you do look at it, slow starts do matter. Because a lot of the times you say, tell me what they're doing in June. You know? I don't know. I mean, the one thing I can, when I look at the pitching staff and stuff, I don't see, other than Chris Sale, whatever his deal is, I don't go, oh, wow, there's a win, you know? I go to the rotation, I go, well, you can mark that down as a W. I don't see that. And that's always a problem.
No, I mean, they've got, the one thing they have got is Eovaldi, who, if nothing else, is going to be one of the handful of guys in Major League Baseball that can reliably get you to the seventh inning every once in a while, because nobody else seems to be able to even make it to the fifth inning anymore.
Well, that's also the nature of the beast. I also think, and hopefully of all, you know, he stays healthy. But that's the nature of the game, where players are not conditioned. Players are not conditioned to go the distance. They're just not. They're, because so much money is invested in the arms, they treat them with kid gloves. And they don't want them to break down, and they don't want them to, they don't want to lose their investment. And they're not ready to go six, seven, eight, you know, nine innings. And then that's another thing, Rich, you make a good point. And this is, you know, the middle inning reliever, we've seen it time and time again. Middle inning relievers are hot and cold. When the Red Sox won their first World Series back in 04, their bullpen was awesome. I mean, they had Tim Lynn, and they had Embry, and they were studs that year. But, you know, I don't think you can look at Alan Embry's career and say that he was lights out every year. I don't think. I'm going by memory, which isn't good. You know what I mean? So, you know, you got to have those sixth, seventh, and eighth guys, which a lot of the times they're not consistent.
Right, right. And that's my biggest complaint with Chaim Bloom is, look, Matt Barnes blew up last year, was useless in the second half of the season. So you right. knew you really didn't have a closer, and all they did to address it was to go get a bunch of other major league journeymen, and then at the last minute go, is Hansel Robles still out there? Oh, hell, no one's going to claim him. Bring old Hansel Robles back. He can throw hard, even if he has no idea where it's going.
Excellent point. That's why you should answer the baseball question. But my concern with the team is the ownership is fat and happy, and they have a lot of other interests. And they've spent a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. They've spent money, but, you know, is like Xander Bogaerts should play his entire career here. Like when people say it's either going to be Bogaerts or Devers, well, why not both?
Mm.
Really, you know, both players should be with the Red Sox, because the Red Sox, when it comes to money, they're like the Dodgers. I mean, they can spend it. The fans certainly support it. You know, now I don't know what the cable revenue is, if it's as good as it once was, because we all know the cord cutting has had an impact, but, you know, people still go to the ballpark, and I know they got hurt by COVID, but the only way that'll change is if somehow attendance goes down, or if it's really noticeable that people are falling off on the Red Sox, where they have to go and spend money and win a World Series again. And I don't know if in this owner's lifetime that's going to happen.
I think you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the Celtics. Things were going great, and then yesterday they turned into the October-November Celtics again. Can they right the ship against Milwaukee?
Well, I don't think so. And I don't know if they turned into the October. I think the October-November Celtics were guys that were playing selfish basketball. They weren't as a team. They weren't as a cohesive unit. I just think that the reality hit them in the face is that they played the defending champions. And everyone here in Boston was like, well, they don't have Chris Middleton. Well, they don't have Chris Middleton. No, but they do have the greatest player in the game who had a triple-double.
Yeah.
And who, in a very Russell-like way, is all about the team. Of course, he can score more than Russell did. And they've got roles. And they got guys that know what they need to do, when they need to do it, nothing more, nothing less. And when you have a superstar like the Freak, and you have guys, you know, God bless him, Arlington's Pat Connaughton, who hits three threes and comes in, or, you know, Grayson Allen, who everybody loves to hate. Everybody knows their role, and they come in and they do the job, and they play defense. Look, I said that the Nets are going to win in seven, and people thought I was crazy because I thought Durant would eventually take over. I was wrong. Durant didn't take over. The Celtics did a great job in the Nets. But the Nets are a mess compared to the Bucks. There's no dent in the Bucks at all. The Celtics were never going to beat the Bucks. Anybody who, and it's not their fault. The Bucks are a better team, soup to nuts. I mean, they just are. Now, this is the reality, Rich, about this Celtic team. They are who they are. They're not the second best team in the East. They're probably the fourth best team in the East. I still like Miami. I still like Milwaukee. Philly, God, Philly's so frustrating. But, you know, I still like Embiid better than anybody on the Celtics. And the damn Miami Heat, man, aren't they? They just won't go away. So I think the Celtics are the fourth best team in the East when they play to their capability. But nobody wants to hear that.
All right, CLNSmedia.com is the place to go to get this podcast that you do with Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman. Is it once a week?
Yeah, we do it once a week. And it's kind of like, it's really laid back. It's like, can you do it Wednesday at 11? Bob's like, Bob, I got to go to the dump. Like one time, we get the time confused. I go, Bob, you ready to do the podcast? I'm at the dump. I go, Bob Ryan goes to the dump? He goes, yeah, I got to clean out my attic. He's so great. Ryan is so great. And then, you know, Goodman's talking every college coach in America 24/7. So, yeah, we usually do it on Tuesday, Wednesday, and it drops. So we put it out on Twitter. And, you know, we will ask Bob again about winning time, and he just goes off. Oh, my God. He just gets so pissed off.
We'll look forward to it.
Oh, did I tell you, though, you've had Cedric Maxwell on, haven't you? Have you had him on?
Years ago, yeah, not for a while.
Yeah, we got to get him back. We got to get him back on because you saw the one where Jason Clark, Jerry West in the limo was MFing him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I recorded that clip, and I sent it to Max because Max doesn't watch. And he calls, "Big fella, what's this all about?" And he's laughing. And he's, oh, yeah, he thought it was hilarious. Because he and Worthy are tight. That's another thing. People don't realize, like, Bird and Magic are friends. They became, I mean, they wouldn't, it was never this bad. And Worthy and Maxwell knew each other from, like, high school. You know, I mean, it's like Rambis is the guy they didn't like. Rambis, they had no use for him.
What, can you tell, before we let you go, can you tell the story you told me on the phone the other day about Norm Nixon's son when he asked his dad?
Oh, yeah. This is, if you go to CLNS again, Cedric Maxwell has a podcast on there, and Max interviews old players, like get Bernard King on and all these guys. It's great. And he had Norm Nixon on. Now, Norm and Max became really good friends when they both played for the Clippers, when they both got exiled to the Clippers at the end of their career, right? So they were like, well, this team's going nowhere. So they became tight, and they had a really good time, and they're good friends to this day. So Norm comes on Max's podcast to talk about Winning Time. Now, Norm Nixon's son plays his dad on Winning Time. And Norm goes to Max, he goes, I never wore a fur coat in the summer. He goes, and I never played Magic Johnson one-on-one, especially in dress shoes. and then he goes, and then, so Max said, well, why'd you let your son play, you know, be part of it? He goes, said, go get that money. Go get the money, kid. Go get paid. And his son is great.
Yes,
he is.
I mean,
I think his son's great.
Absolutely.
But that was funny when he said, I never wore a fur coat this summer, and I never played one-on-one in dress shoes. So there's a lot of liberties there.
There you go. Gary Tangway. Check out his podcast. If you haven't read The Arm in the Fall, get your hands on that. You will love it. Gary, always a pleasure, my friend. We'll do it again soon.
Richie, thanks, buddy. Talk to you later.